Please be seated.
Our next case is case number 71503, Arcella versus Arcella.
May it please the court, Chief Justice Cherry. My name is Shan Winesett, and I represent Matthew Arcella, who is also present in the gallery today. The issues we're addressing in this appeal are essentially four. The religious objection, the sustaining by the district court of the religious objection on a private school. The failure of the court to hold an evidentiary hearing. The court's failure to make findings regarding the best interest of the child with regard to the educational decisions of the parents. And the failure of the court to take into consideration the child's own wishes in the determination of the issue. With regard to the religious objection, the U.S. Supreme Court provides a fundamental right of the parents to participate in the upbringing and raising of their children, making religious determinations, education determinations. The U.S. Supreme Court states the First Amendment mandates governmental neutrality between religion, and also between religion and non-religion. For this reason, the courts and family court setting cannot choose between religions or non-religions. They need to be neutral. Each parent, according to the U.S. Constitution, is entitled to a presumption that the decisions that they make regarding their children's upbringing are in their best interests. And so when the court is exercising the power of the state in determining between two fit parents, the court cannot unilaterally overrule one parent's religious decisions over the other. There has to be a neutrality in the decision. We've cited extensively the Arizona Supreme Court in our briefing. And the Arizona Supreme Court has addressed these issues and noted that this type of issue, the religious objection and the placement of private school, is not new or unusual. It happens all the time. The courts have to focus on the best interest of the children in making these rulings. And as the Supreme Court of Arizona stated in Jordan, the court may not rule out a placement in a private religious school simply because it is a private religious school, which is exactly what the district court did in its order. The opposing Mrs. Arcella, in setting forth the religious objection cited to the Newdow decision, that decision of the Ninth Circuit is not applicable in these proceedings because in that case the father was protecting his own interests against unconstitutional government action. Also, it appears that the U.S. Supreme Court dismissed his case ultimately as having a lack of standing. In this case, we don't have a governmental actor. There's no dispute between the parties and the government. There's no law or governmental policy imposing religion upon the parties. The dispute is between two private citizens, two parents who have a dispute over what is in the best educational interest of the child. And both of them have the right to jointly participate in that decision-making process, which puts the family court in a position of being a referee between those two parents. In that situation, you don't have a governmental entity imposing religion upon the parties. And it doesn't, according to the Arizona Supreme Court, does not violate the Establishment Clause of the U.S. Constitution to make that determination. So, as all things in family courts, it's what is in the best interest of the children. And a religious objection, a religious veto, cannot override the parents' participation in those decisions. The courts have to look at the entirety of the circumstances, everything related to that decision that the parents are going to make, and determine what is in the best educational interest of that particular child in that particular setting. What happened in this case is that the court demonstrated unconstitutional hostility to private religious education. And that preoccupation is shown in the transcript of the proceedings, where the court's questions were not about what is the best curriculum, what is the standards of the faculty, what offerings does the school have as opposed to one school over the other. The court asked questions such as, so can you clarify a little bit what exactly the religious objection is? Or do the children attend church when they go to school? Do they attend services? Do they have a theology class? That's what drove the court's decision in this particular case. The court didn't ask any questions about what offerings Faith Lutheran might have, didn't investigate the 97% college enrollment rate that the school has, the STEM programs, the conservatory programs, the business programs, the moot court programs. There was no assessment of one school next to the other, and therefore the court didn't consider the child's best interest. And at the end of the first hearing in the case, the court stated, okay, all right, I just want to look into the religious issue a little bit more, so I'll give you a written minute order shortly. So in that situation, it showed that the court was preoccupied with the religious affiliation of Faith Lutheran, as opposed to whether that school, under the circumstances of this case, was the best fit for the child.
Counsel, did the court make any pronouncements from the bench as to what you're alluding to, as to these religious pronouncements, other than the general inquiry that you're talking about?
That's the only, that's my only understanding from the court, was the inquiry was, she was focused on the religion and the affiliation of the school with the religion, and that's what drove, and that's what drove her.
And even though she made a finding that both schools were equal, I thought there was something that was introduced in terms of the Bob Miller School having better national standing. I don't know whether that was.
She stated in the order that Bob Middle School had a national standing, and then she also stated that she didn't state it as a finding. She stated that's what was argued, and then she also stated that the father had indicated that the child wanted to have the child wanted to be at Faith Lutheran, but she said that there was no evidence of that. Well, of course, there can't be an evidence because, as we indicated in the paperwork, the court never had an evidentiary hearing to take the evidence. But it was stated without dispute that the child also wanted to attend.
Well, was there an affidavit provided as to the child?
It was an affidavit, as in family courts, they allow kind of a verified type of pleading where...
But that was the father's statements, and I'm saying as to that minor child, was there an attempt to... Have a sworn statement of the child?
No, because that would be completely inappropriate. We could not do that. So the court would have to provide, and that's what was requested at both hearings, that the court have the child interview, because it would be inappropriate, especially for an attorney, to communicate with the child to get such verification.
Was the court required to have a evidentiary hearing as to the child's best interests?
Yes, I believe that the court was required to have an evidentiary hearing.
And did you request that evidentiary hearing?
As I understand, I wasn't at the court, but as I understand,
your client,
yes, they wanted to have the child interviewed and to have the facts actually the court take evidence on the issue.
And my understanding was your client was going to pay the entire tuition for the private school, Faith Lutheran. Is that correct?
He was going to pay the entire tuition and provide all transportation if necessary, which is the same thing, and that kind of goes with whether the religious objection kind of showed up after the proceeding started. But he had agreed to pay it at the Henderson International School. They had the same dispute that the mom didn't want the child to go to private school. So he paid for Ann Henry. They stipulated after filing a motion that he would pay all those costs as well. So yes, he would pay all of the costs for the Faith Lutheran.
Was it in the record how much the tuition was there at Faith Lutheran?
No, I don't believe that was the issue. The issue was more of that it's in the best interest of the child to go there. The cost didn't matter because he was going to pay those costs to have the child go to Faith Lutheran.
But you indicated that previously the mother had objected to the private school factor?
The Henderson International School. And then when the father agreed to pay all of the expenses, then the children went through Henderson International School, and that's what prompted the situation here, is that the elementary school education was ending, and now they were looking toward upper-level private school education. And Faith Lutheran is where the daughter wanted to.
Is your position also that Judge Brown did not make any findings as far as the best interest of the child?
Yes, that's exactly what we're saying, because the only finding that we found in there is that she said that the best interest of the child is to go to both schools, but no facts supporting that determination, and then found essentially because it's religion the child's not going to go there, the child's going to go to public school. That was written into her order. And so there were no findings of fact as far as we are concerned. And when the court is making a determination which is changing the status quo of the situation, the court has to take evidence to make the best interest standard. This is not a Rooney situation, as alluded to in the respondent's paperwork, that the court can somehow deny the motion and then you don't have to go any further, because the status quo wasn't being maintained. The court made a decision to go somewhere else. This is not a situation like in Rooney where if the court says, well, everything that you say is true isn't going to result in me changing the status quo here, I don't have to have an evidentiary hearing. That makes sense. That's not the case that we had here. The situation we had here is that the court made an affirmative determination that the child was no longer going to Henderson International, was now going to Bob Miller, a public school, instead of Faith Lutheran, solely because of the religious aspect of Faith Lutheran's relationship.
And it's your position that when there's no findings, the case has to be reversed?
That is what I'm getting from this court's multiple rulings now, that this court wants the family courts to show their work. There are multiple cases, Efwala, the Davis decision, Rivero, I can't pronounce it, Machazi, where the court determined the court remanded for further proceedings and an evidentiary hearing because the court didn't take evidence on what the Jewish holidays actually was intended in that decision. And the court specifically stated, competing affidavits of the parties, an argument of counsel and the judge's own determination is not sufficient. The court needs to have evidence, and the only way, factual findings, the only way you can have factual findings is to take evidence.
There's a line in the court's order that stated that she had a strong religious objection to the child attending Faith Lutheran, that Faith Lutheran provides a theology class that each student must take every year. Was that testimony? Was there anything provided as to that being absolute, or whether the parents could opt out of that?
The record shows that objection showed up never before between the parties. The emails exchanging, the discussion about this, it popped up after she retained counsel and filed the motion. And that's if you have a court sympathetic to that argument, we're not so sure that it was genuine, but of course we never had the opportunity to test that through cross-examination or the presentation of other evidence. Does the court have any more? I forgot to ask for some rebuttal time.
You have about a minute and a half left.
Okay, if the court doesn't have any other questions, then I'd like to reserve that time.
What about findings of fact? Why don't you tell me, were there findings of fact on the best interest of the child, or were there not findings of fact on best interest of the child?
There is a blanket statement, Your Honor, that said just she finds that it's in the best interest to go to both schools. She did not show her work, the trial court judge, and for reasons passing understanding, made a finding that it's in the child's best interest to go to Faith Lutheran when they offered zero evidence. As far as that goes, they said two things as to why the child should go to Faith Lutheran. One, the 11-year-old child wants to go. So says dad, mom says to the other ones. The other reason is, it's Faith Lutheran. As if that were the drop-the-mic statement, it's Faith Lutheran. That's all they presented. Now, Rooney is applicable here, just as it is to any motion before a district court. The same principle applies. If you don't make a showing of a prima facie case at the motion stage, you lose.
Counsel, is it your presumption that the choice of school automatically cedes to the mother in this case, that the father has to rebut that? Or is it an equal presumption that both parents are allowed to participate in making the decision of what school the child goes to, if possible?
Well, as a matter of law, it goes to both. However, in this particular case, both parents agreed that the child would no longer continue to go to Henderson International. That's very clear in the record, in the briefs, and at the argument for the trial court.
Okay, we're not talking about the Henderson International. We're talking about, new schools.
I was getting to that. As far as where the child goes after, Dad's position was Faith Lutheran. Mom's position was Bob Miller Middle School. And the court was very clear saying, are there any other choices on the table? No. By both parties, that was the answer. Now, Dad does have the right, just as Mom, to determine where the child would go to school. And the parents should be able to work this issue out. However, they requested, or Dad requested, that a government actor, the district court, step in and make a decision on this. And Mom's position is the district court has no business getting involved in this. And there are many different U.S. Supreme Court cases that say that a court may not interfere with the religious choices of a parent absent a clear and present danger to the child. Prince versus Massachusetts. Parents have the right to determine the exercise of their children's religion or lack thereof.
But counsel, parents. So the mother and father in this instance, one, again, as I understand the position, is advocating private school. It happens to be Faith Lutheran, but private. Per the divorce decree and for the child's entire educational and pre-educational history, they've been in private school and thriving. And so as I understand it, the father's position was, so Faith Lutheran would be good. It's a private school. They've done well there. So why does the mother's religious preference or lack of trump the father's interest? Should the court even be weighing into this religious decision?
Yes, because the court has no business entertaining a religious decision whatsoever in this case. Because Faith Lutheran is a religious private school. Henderson International is not religious at all. So Mom has no objection to the child going to private school. She has an objection going to a school like Faith Lutheran, where it says in their own handbook at page 181 of the appendix through Justice Douglas, that salvation is the primary goal of Faith Lutheran, not education, which is very surprising coming from an educational institution.
But having said that, that's not a full response to the question I asked, whether or not a parent in that handbook has the ability to opt out, since it is a private school, because in some schools they allow parents that have concerns about that to opt out of that class.
No, that is required. It says so in the handbook. They're required to take a theology class. They're also required to attend services on Sunday.
But she doesn't object to religious education because the children went to a Jewish school.
That was for preschool. And the indoctrination when you're young, and there really wasn't much indoctrination there, they're teaching you your ABCs. Now, middle school is very different, where the children at their most impressionable ages, right from middle school, right before they hit puberty is when they're most impressionable. And Mom has an objection to this. Further, when Mom was married to Dad, she succumbed to his religious beliefs. And that was part of the problem in their marriage, not to get into that too much. But when they divorced, Mom stopped going to Dad's church.
But we are back to not the differences between Mom and Dad, even though that what brings us here. We're back to the best interest of the child.
Yes, and Mom believes it's in the best interest of the child to go to Bob Miller Middle School. It's a five-star school. It's a number one ranked school in the state.
So how can this court evaluate the district judge's decision when she basically hasn't explained the conclusion she reached?
She basically said because of the religious objection. And she focused just on that, and that was her decision. It was a minute order. She did not give a recitation of her findings in court. She just issued the minute order. And the order was prepared consistent with the minute order.
Stating mom's objection to this particular religious school in no way, in my mind, explains how that is in the best interest or isn't in the best interest of this child.
I recognize the problem there, and I wish the court would have been more clear, the lower court would have been more clear on this, that dad didn't meet his burden. I wish the district court would have done that, because like I said, he only presented two reasons why the child should go. So as a matter of just under Rooney, making a prima facie case, he should have lost just on that alone.
Well, but it sounds like the second reason you mentioned in this argument and is discussed in the briefs, that it's faith Lutheran and deference should be given to that decision because of that institution's educational reputation, but would have put the court in a position of assessing the best interests of the child and that child's acclimation to the two educational institutions, regardless of the religious question.
But Dad didn't present any offers of proof. He simply said, it's faith Lutheran. Whereas in the opposition, when we said Bob Miller Middle School, we gave the Nevada report card, we gave the best schools report of the best schools in the country, we offered something.
Did the dad request an evidentiary hearing?
Yes.
And the judge declined that?
Yes.
And what was the basis for the judge's declination of the evidentiary hearing?
From the record given, mom's religious objection.
So there's no explanation. Dad was denied an opportunity to even present evidence on faith loose, on the educational aspects or other aspects of best interests of the child, right?
Well, in order to do that, under Rooney, you actually have to make a showing in the beginning. You don't just make a statement with no offers of proof whatsoever and expect to get a trial, because then that would overburden the district court, because every single motion that would come forward would have to go to trial to make findings why it's not in the best interest, to prove the negative. And that flies in the face of many years, many decades of case law stemming out of Rooney, where if you don't make your showing, you lose. He didn't make a showing. He didn't even give offers of proof. He just said, child wants to go, which was disputed in the record, and the statement, it's faith Lutheran, as if everyone knows what that is. It didn't give anything in the handbook, didn't show any stats on it, didn't show anything from it.
But an evidentiary hearing would have cleared up all these issues. And he did request it and didn't give it.
But he didn't make any offers of proof either.
Go ahead.
What's
showing beyond, we can't agree on what school? What did they need to show the court to ask the court to help make that decision? We can't agree. I want to send my child here. She wants to send our child here. We can't agree. What showing did the father need to make to get in the door, to have this conversation beyond that? We can't agree. We have one child in two schools.
Right. It's his burden to show the court and to prove that it should happen, whatever he is requesting. And he didn't present anything. He could have presented
stats. But counsel, you're talking about he requested. If I understand, they were sharing joint legal and physical custody, unless you can point me to something that said she had controlling as to what school, then I thought they would start at equal footing, not one side has the upper hand and the other has to rebut.
That would be correct. They had joint legal, joint physical custody. And they should both start at equal footing.
But what you're arguing is that dad has to rebut mom's position, opposed to they have equal footing, because you're arguing.
No, when daddy comes before the court, he has to meet a legal standard. He has to make a showing, an offer of proof, a prima facie case.
How is mother allowed to have the preference of what school? Because that's what you're asserting. She has a preference, and he has to undo. Don't we just have a conflict?
By she, do you mean the mother? Yeah. Well, here's where the constitutional issue comes in. If we're choosing between two non-religious schools, the court should have ordered an evidentiary hearing if Dad made an offer of proof. But here we have the constitutional issue where the court can't step in and force religion upon a child over a parent's religious objection. By the way, Mom did raise this objection before briefing. I actually wrote a letter to Mr. Shapiro. He graciously gave me an extension, and he said, what are your bases? I said, religion first, distance second, and I went into some other reasons as well. So this is a legitimate objection by Mom on the religious issue. Now, 6 days a week, this child will be getting religious training, 5 days, and then chapel on Sunday. So that's a heavy...
What's on the record about what the requirements are of the school? It strains the interpretation that a mention of salvation on page 181, if it's a primary mission, I'd expect it to be on maybe in the first 10 pages. But to suggest that on this record here, with competing pamphlets, you have a pamphlet and you have a website that suggests that Bob Miller, and there was some dispute about whether or not that's the best school or these are the kind that you sign up for or not. It's clear the court didn't have enough information about the educational components, because even if one school was demonstrably better, it may not still have been in the best interest of the minor to attend that school. Where's the individualized finding for this child? What's in that child's best interest?
Well, if the judge was not in Faith Lutheran, we'd be in the same boat. It doesn't matter. We don't have findings as to either school, really, because there was no evidentiary hearing. That is allegations.
As to the page 181, that's of the joint appendix. It is, I believe, on page 3 of the handbook, just to clarify that one fact.
So, counsel, I know you've... The judge handled the way the judge handled it. You probably would have preferred it to be handled a different way. I mean, we get that totally. I mean, if we had an order here saying that the judge has compared the two schools, geography, whatever, you know, accessibility, a lot of other issues here, then it's a pretty clear abuse of discretion standard that we could review. Right now, I think the frustration of my colleagues and myself is the judge just did something she shouldn't have done. She shouldn't have just said, well, based on religion, this is all over. As Justice Douglas said, it's the best interest of the child, and you have to do that analysis. If not, that's what it's all about in family court. So I'm sure you would have preferred her to do it, but she didn't, so we're kind of stuck with this kind of record of what happened.
I would have preferred that, but I still believe the court can uphold the decision on the religious issue, because the court simply cannot say, over a parent's religious objection, Mom does not want that child indoctrinated with religion every day at school. Now, what the court can do as far as religion is concerned is say that Dad can have whatever religion the child wants, or he wants for the child in Dad's time, and Mom can have whatever religion or not on Mom's time. The problem here is when you get to the child's education every single day, the indoctrination of religion. And that's where it crosses the line and violates the rights.
Where's the evidence of the indoctrination?
It is in the handbook that was part of the exhibits that I produced to the opposition. It said salvation is their primary goal. They are teaching creationism. They want to have religious salvation for their students above education. It's in their own handbook.
What evidence did Dad present in support of his motion?
None.
Zero. So he submitted a motion and there's no affidavit, no...
There's an affidavit.
Okay.
The short form affidavit saying everything in there is true and correct. But the offers of proof were the child wants to go and it's Faith Lutheran. He had four chances.
Did you object in your opposition to the father's motion not being enough to... not enough evidence to shift the burden to your client?
I believe I did.
He also talked about different academic programs there, athletic programs at other schools, that there's more opportunities at Faith Lutheran.
I believe that was in the reconsideration. The initial motion, that was not there. If there are any other questions, I'm happy to answer.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Weinstein, you have about 2 minutes. Minute 34.
Thank you. The suggestion that the father did not make an offer of proof is not a fair statement to make under the records. There was an email that was attached to the documentation in which Mrs. Arcella stated, "I think Faith is a great school. There are a few things that I didn't like, but there are a lot of cool opportunities." That's in the respondent's own words. Additionally, Mr. James has not presented this court, except for the Newdow decision, a single case which interprets the U.S. Constitution in which he would ask this court to apply it. Not a single one. And as I indicated in my initial discussions, Newdow does not apply to this case. That's where you have a state actor involved. Mr. James made a couple admissions. He wished the court were more clear. This court wishes the court were more clear. And the court did not make, and the suggestion that the offer of proof that Mr. Arcella made wasn't valid is belied by the court's own ruling that it is in the best interest of the child to go to both schools. So the court took the easy way out and said, religious objection, I'm upholding it, which is not constitutional because she is imposing a religious belief or a non-religious belief on one of the parties in the case when she is supposed to be a neutral referee of this dispute. And the suggestion that Faith Lutheran is only creationism not true, because in same handbook, Faith says they expose to all of it. Creationism and evolution says it in their handbook. If the court has no further questions.
Question that I just want to understand. When a party brings a motion in family court and they want to have the family court decide some factual issue, the movement needs to attach sufficient evidence to support what the movement is requesting, correct? Just like any other court.
Well, they need to present evidence. Sometimes it's just an affidavit.
Right.
Without anything else.
A motion that just says, you know, please do this with no evidence attached to it, you're saying, what was the evidence that was attached to your client's motion?
The evidence that was attached with it was an affidavit that Faith Lutheran, the children had already been in private school. They'd like to continue in Faith Lutheran. The child herself was interested in going to Faith Lutheran. The mother herself had said, it's a great school.
Was all presented attached to the motion?
It was presented attached to the motion through the affidavit. I'm not sure what exhibits actually were attached, but this information was presented to the court in an affidavit form. There is a problem with family court right now that exhibits are being stricken from the record, and I don't know why, so they changed the format where we submit the exhibits, not attached to the motion, but separately. I don't know if this court is aware of that, but that's not related to this case.
But you then completely dispute your opposing colleague's position that your client did not attach any evidence in support of his motion that was admissible evidence.
Yeah, the verified affidavit in which he verified what was presented in the motion and in the reply brief, and then followed up in
everything my lawyer says is true.
Yes, which is the way they operate in family court. I think if counsel would
that seems a little less than ideal, doesn't it, to you?
I think it is a practice that developed, and I believe now that the local rules permit a verification type of affidavit in the local rules. So it seems like it's a shortcut, and some attorneys say it's not appropriate, that the facts should be outlaid. But the reason why they did this verification affidavit is what was happening is that the parties were taking the facts out of the motion and just reiterating them in an affidavit. It was a waste of time, so they went that direction.
But it establishes a competency issue of whether or not you can verify what somebody else knows.
Yes, but it's a standard practice. I would believe that Mr. James's affidavit was the same. His client submitted the same type of affidavit. That's just how
it's different from normal.
Yeah, there's a lot of things in family court that are a little bit different from the normal way things are done.
Thank you. That answers my questions.
Both lawyers, Mr. Wentz and Mr. James, for your arguments in this matter, your briefs, and thank you for letting us know what happens in family court.
Thank you.
This matter will stand submitted and will be in recess.